Hello, beautiful friends, and welcome to another edition of Still the Fat Kid podcast, where I try and bring you the best actions and strategies so that you too can prove the struggle is real, but you are stronger. Today's guest, good friend of mine, Jesse Alvarez, has an amazing story, and I think he's really going to help you kind of overcome and eliminate a lot of excuses in your life just because of some of the things that he's done. So, Jesse, one way I like to start out all my episodes, and it's the way I start out every day. What is something that you're grateful for?
Waking up.
Waking up.
Honest to God, yeah. So, you know, it's something that we take for granted in life, but a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, I had just a catastrophic event after another of people that I knew that I cared about, work-wise, personal-wise, mm-hmm. that had passed away.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a gut check. Some were older. Some were my age, some were younger, mm-hmm. okay? And so when that happens, and every day you're living your life and you're thinking, this is just living. Every day is the same. It's good. Get up. Grind. Do your yeah. thing. Be a good person. Be honest. Be respectful. Be helpful. You take for granted just the fact that you're able to do that. You take for granted the fact that you can kiss your wife in the morning or that you can see your kids before they leave for school, right? Like, those are things that you just do because that's part of your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have people that you really care about that no longer have that, their wife doesn't get that kiss, their kid can't see them again.
Yeah.
That makes it real for you. And so when I wake up, I get up and I hit the ground running, man. Like, I gotta wash my face. Like, I'm up, I'm ready to dominate the day and go.
Yeah.
Waking up is my thing. Like, I am thankful that I can wake up the next day and get out of my bed.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah, and it's definitely something we do take for granted. All right, so I love this question because it tells me a little bit about personality of people.
Yeah.
If you had a walkout song for life, like, you know, in baseball, if you had a walkout song every time you go up the bat, what would be your walkout song for life?
Man, I've never honestly thought about that. That's a great one. I don't know. Let me think about that. I'll have to see if I can come back to that in a little bit.
We'll come back to it. So let me ask you this, because I know that this plays a large part in who we are and how we think. Growing up, and even till now, who is somebody that you've always looked up to and learned a lot from? Who's kind of been an idol in your life?
I've been lucky, man. I've had a lot of really cool people
mm-hmm.
in my life. Right? I mean, I've had great male role models. I've had great mentors in business,
mm-hmm.
Great friends. As I get older, I'm 35 now. As I get older, I'll probably have to say my mom.
Okay.
I had this conversation this morning. She's way stronger than I ever will be or ever thought I could be. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. right? And my mom and dad divorced when I was young. And so it was just her and I for a while.
Okay.
And when I look back at all the things that she did for me, I don't know how. I have an amazing wife. I have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I could imagine being a parent to kids without having that support system in Melissa.
Yeah.
So how she was able to do it alone for so long, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a trait that I think that I admire in her. So, I, you know, as I get older, I look at that and I go, that's pretty awesome. That
yeah.
Not knowing it back then, that was probably someone that I looked up to and didn't realize it. But the older that I get, the more that I appreciate things.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning that she was probably the majority of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because we take that kind of stuff for granted when we're growing up because yeah. it's really just not something we think about. It's not on the forefront of our mind. I was the same way with my parents. I mean, my parents were, you know, they were uber strict on me. They're yeah. always pushing me to excel. At some points, like, I hated that.
Yeah.
And it bugged me because I'm like, oh, why can't I just live? Why can't I just be happy? And looking back, I'm so happy they raised me that way.
Yeah.
Because it taught me respect. It taught me, you know, hard work. It taught me all these lessons that I carry with me today.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through it, you hate it.
So when I was in high school, I think my curfew was like 10, 11, 12 o'clock, something like that. It was ridiculously early. And my mom would always tell me, she's like, nothing good happens after midnight. And I was like, whatever. That's when all the good stuff happens.
Right.
Because I was young and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at 35 years old, if I'm at home and Melissa or the kids say, hey, we need something. Can you go get it? I look outside and I'm like, it's dark. Can this wait till tomorrow? Like, I really don't want to leave the house right now.
Yeah.
It's funny how those things change in life. And the things that when you're young, you're like, that's dumb or whatever, I don't care. You look back on it and you're actually thankful for that. You know, and something else. So my stepdad was extremely, very disciplined, very strict. You know, Saturday mornings, we got up, we ate breakfast early, and then it was outside to do work.
Yeah.
Like, you got work done. After you got work done, you ate lunch, and then it was kind of like your time to go do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And back when you're little, you're thinking like, this is stupid, this sucks, whatever.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, he was putting that discipline in me to be focused. And there's things that I say now to people that I go, crap, man. Like,
I am my parents.
Yeah. You know, like, I get annoyed because if I have to do something more than once. Like, I'm like, why am I having to redo this job? I'm trying to get this done right the first time. Let's knock it out. Let's be done. Let's move forward. We're not being efficient. Well, I know where I got that from.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I had to go cut grass. And it was like, you need to cut this right the first time, be done with it, and move on. Why do you want to go back and redo your job?
Yeah.
So it's those traits. You're right, man. You take that stuff for granted. You grow up. You learn. And you go, okay, they kind of know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. So, Jesse, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today was I want the audience to kind of hear your story and what you've been through the last couple years and everything that's been going on, yet you are still able to accomplish goals and do everything.
Yeah.
So, and I want it to come from your perspective. I want you to tell that story. So if you could, just tell the audience kind of what's been going on the last couple years in your journey.
Yeah. So I would say 2015 was the turning point on my health and fitness part of my life, right? So my life was fragmented or segmented, however you want to look at it. I had this really great work life. I loved what I do. I love helping people. Work was great. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was doing the right thing there. My home life was amazing. I have a great wife, have two funny kids, no problems there.
Yeah.
The one part of my life that was out of balance was my physical fitness and health, okay? But I didn't know it. Well, I take that back. I did know it, but I didn't want to admit to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't admit to it because 66% of my life was in check, right? Mm-hmm. That was like the one thing that I was not good at. And I was okay with that because I was like, you know what? So I think a good employee, I try to come to work hard, and I try to come work every day and work hard and be honest and be fair and be everything that I think I should be.
Mm-hmm.
At home, I try to do the same thing with my wife and my kids. I try to make sure that I provide the best that I can, that I'm fair, that I'm honest, I take care of my family to the best of my ability. So that was like my one thing, right? I was like, well, everything else you're doing really, really well. That one thing, okay, that's like your it. And then I told you, in 2015, some people that I cared about started passing away. Work-related, work partners, personal friends of mine, a fraternity brother of mine, a guy that I'd known since I was 18 years old, passed away. And it was that gut check moment. I had been getting bigger, and I knew it, but I didn't see it, if that makes sense. Like, I knew that there was a problem, but I just wasn't able to admit that I had a problem.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it. And when that stuff started to happen, it was kind of, I don't know why, I don't know if there was an exact moment, but it was that where I go, something has to change, man. You can't continue down this path.
Yeah.
So I had been hearing about this guy named Brantley Ellison that owned BeFit, okay? My brother-in-law, Tom Moore, you know Tom.
Yep.
My brother-in-law married my sister, obviously, and I was at my niece and nephew's birthday party. And he had told me, he's like, man, he goes, you know, Brantley, lost a lot of weight. This dude's really, really crushing it out there. He's helping people. It's really cool. I was like, dude, that's awesome. He's telling me all this. He's probably offering this as advice, saying you need this help.
Yeah.
But I wasn't hearing it. I was like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people started to pass away around me. And I had to do something. So I first started off by just actually, I did the 24-day challenge with Advocare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So 24 days, I did it with a buddy of mine, Scott Allen. Did the 24-day challenge. Lost, I think, 17 or 18 pounds in 24 days. Well, I kind of started to like, okay, this is doable.
Mm-hmm.
You can make this happen. And I knew that I was serious about it because I was changing little things. Like, I would check myself before I ate. I was like, you know what? You're not hungry, man. Go get a cup of water.
Yeah.
Or you want to chew something, get a piece of gum. Mm. Go chew on some ice, which I know is bad for your teeth, but it's better than scarfing down a pint of ice cream.
True.
So I started off with that. Then someone else passed away. And I said, okay, I've got to step it up. I got to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my life is pretty hectic from 6 a.m. till about 8 p.m. when my kids go to bed.
Yeah.
I have an elliptical at my house. There is no excuse. There is a ground outside that is free. There was no excuse. I was the excuse.
Yeah.
I had to check that. I legit had a conversation with myself in the mirror and said, dude, you have a problem, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you legit have a problem. You cannot stop yourself. You can't stop eating and you can't start being better. This is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So, heard about Brantley. I knew that I needed to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Did my elliptical for a little bit, and then I go, someone else passed away. I mean, three people, man, in like 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a definite wake-up call.
Almost 2 years to the day. And I go, I've got to take it to the next level. I cannot do this. I could not do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
I needed somebody stronger than me that would help me and hold me accountable. And so I signed up for BFIT. BFIT 5, March 22nd, 2015. If I remember correctly. And dude, you talk about nervous. Like, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
You just knew you were going to boot camp.
Yeah. Like, and the name boot camp is, it's misleading. Because Brantley's not the guy that's going to sit there and like, yell at you like, get on the ground, stupid. Like, that's not him.
Yeah.
It's a boot camp that is going to jumpstart you into the next direction you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And liked it. You know, you're always changing venues.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, I think we met 4 times a week, our group did, and every time we met, it was somewhere different.
Yeah.
Same people, different venue.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the people that I was hanging out with.
Yep.
And I've said this to you before, positivity breeds positivity. You are the average of the people that you spend the most time with, right?
Correct.
You hang out with people that are healthy and motivated and want to be better in life. By default, you're generally going to step your game up from that, okay? So I really like these people.
Mm-hmm.
So the 8 weeks ended. And I'll tell you when I knew that I was really serious about this. I was running the Ocean Springs Bridge. We had just run a 5K at Run and Try, the fun run on Monday.
Yeah.
And I was running in New Balance shoes that I probably had for 27 years or something ridiculous. Because I had a size 13 foot when I was 4. But apparently I had hurt I sprained my ankle some way somehow while I was running. Bad shoes, bad running form. My shoes probably weren't even tied.
Yeah.
Who knows? I show up to run the Ocean Springs Bridge. I can barely walk. My foot hurts so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I showed up.
Yeah.
And I did everything that I could possibly do. And I did not stop. I didn't cry about it. I just said, you know what? This is the pain of getting back to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was the moment when I knew I was legit, like, okay, you're mentally where you need to be now.
It's almost like that's when that paradigm shift happened.
Yeah.
And you started fully believing, and you started fully like trusting the process, and like, this is the road I'm supposed to be on.
Yeah. And I went home that night. I could barely walk.
I hope you iced it.
I don't even think I realized. I took a picture of my ankle and sent it to a friend of mine who's the manager of Run and Try in Mobile. And I said, dude, I said, something's wrong. Like, something doesn't feel right.
It's black and blue. It's swollen. I don't think it's supposed to look like this.
I'm trying to explain to him and he goes, send me a picture of where it hurts, pointing to it. So I point to it, snap the picture, send the picture. I think his first things back, his first response back was, first off, throw those shoes away. The second response was, it was probably this, go get checked by a doctor. And then it was, come see, go to run and try, get a gait analysis, let them put you in the right shoe. You may have bad or improper running form, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I went through all that. I fell in love with it, man.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the fact that there were these people that young, older, male, female, all different walks of life. Okay? From bankers to restaurant owners to just regular Joes like myself. In that moment, for that hour, 2 hours that we're with Brantley at BeFit, dude, none of that matters.
No.
In that moment, the commonality is that we are all trying to get better, and we're trying to help each other get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, and I like people in general. I just like people. I like to talk to people and hang out with people and learn from them. So I like that. That was probably one of my favorite things. Getting fit, obviously, was the main goal, but that was really cool, man. He has a really good thing going on over there.
Yeah, he does. And you know, that's a growing trend right now in fitness, is doing things in a group setting. I mean, you see the same thing with the explosion of CrossFit.
Yeah.
The reason CrossFit has had so much success is people feel like they're a part of something.
Okay.
And they go to this consistently because they don't let their friends down. They feel like if they don't go, they're not being held accountable to their friends. And
yeah, you're right.
It's that community atmosphere that you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And really, it almost becomes that's the focus, where the byproduct is your health.
Mm-hmm.
Where you start for your health, but you continue doing it for the community atmosphere.
I can see that.
And
it's a social, it almost becomes like the social aspect of, I want to go, these people are funny, I enjoy hanging out with them.
Exactly.
They're cool people, let me go there, and then we're going to get a great workout out, high five and go home.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So you started doing BeFit, you fell in love with it, you started seeing success.
Yeah.
So how long have you been on this journey now?
So March 22nd, 2015 was a start. March 22nd, 2017 would be two years. So within my first year, I'd lost 103 pounds.
Wow. That's almost identical to what I lost my first year. I think it was right at like 103, 105 pounds, something like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, like, how did you do it? And you're like, in your head, it's like,
did you even realize you had lost that much weight?
No.
I didn't either.
No. But like, people ask me now, I'm like, okay, it's only 2 pounds a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's what every dietitian, everybody tells you to lose, is about 1.5, 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, so 2 times 52 is 104, right?
Exactly.
They say 2 to 3 pounds is when in a weight loss, it should be that. So 52 mm-hmm. times 2 is 104. 52 times 3 is what? 106, right? No.
No.
112, yeah. Something like that. So, yeah, and when the first year came out, and Brantley's cool because he takes before and after pictures,
yep.
And so he did that card for me, and he goes, I just want to share it with you before I let anybody else see it, and he did, and I was like, dang. Like, that was the problem, Robbie. The problem was that the guy that I saw on the before picture, I didn't see him through these new set of eyes.
No.
I saw him as, that's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing
he's
wrong
successful.
With that.
He's doing well. He's got a great family.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with this guy.
I didn't see any problems. When I got the after picture, a year later, 103 pounds, and people, same thing. How did you do it? I always give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
I would not have ever started the journey, unfortunately, if it wouldn't have been for the people that I knew and cared about that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So that is always my drive. I will never, I don't know if I say this right, but I will never let that go without holding myself accountable, right? Like, I owe it to these people that I cared about to continuously get better every day, every week, every month.
Yeah.
But I also have to owe it to people that helped me when I wasn't strong enough to do it for myself. And the first person that helped me was, honestly, it was Scott Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through the 24-day challenge. If I felt like I was about to do something dumb, like eat something I shouldn't eat or have a month, like, dude, there was days I was starving. I'm like, dude, I am freaking starving. Like, I am starving.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, stay strong, stay committed, be there.
You had an accountability partner.
I had an accountability partner. That was number one. and then getting into Brantley and BFIT and that group of people.
Yeah.
That was the biggest part.
You know, a lot of people, I get asked all the time, how do you get out of a rut? Or like, how do I even get started? For you, it's a tried and true method that it works. You found a small victory. You did a 24-day challenge. Yeah. And something as small as 24 days, think about it. Those 24 days change your life forever now.
You're right.
And when people are in a rut, I'm like, look, just go do something small. Go for a 10-minute walk every day of the week.
Yeah.
7 days, go for a 10-minute walk. That is an hour and 10 minutes out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, that'll just give you a little bit of confidence, which you had after that 24-day challenge. It gave you a little bit of confidence to say, I really can do this.
Yeah.
And if you would have done that 24-day challenge, who knows if you would have actually done BFIT.
Correct.
Because you didn't have that small victory, a little bit of confidence.
I wouldn't have believed in myself.
Yeah.
You're right.
So it's creating those small victories that start compounding into the next. For like with me, when I started losing weight, I'd always worked out, so that never was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was the eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started just kind of refining just a little bit here and there. Hey, first thing you're going to do, stop going to fast food and buffets.
Yeah.
Just cut that out of your diet,
and
that's probably a hell of a way to start.
Yeah.
And then from there, I just kind of started refining my diet, refining the way I worked out, and just kind of built on those small victories.
Yeah. So, you know, we just talked about this. You're doing amazing things with your meal prep business, right? And that's freaking awesome. My thing was snacks. Like,
yeah.
I could eat dinner okay. Well, mm-hmm. I would eat, like, what a normal human should eat times 30. Okay?
That's my problem, too.
Yeah. But my biggest thing was snacking.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't eat like a little bit of ice cream and then put the rest up and save it for later.
Oh no!
Like,
that didn't
make sense.
No,
I had to eat the entire.
I'm
going to
see the bottom cardboard.
So I had to learn. You said make small changes. I had to learn snacks that I could replace.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got instead of chips, I went and got those flattened pretzels. That are baked.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take the pretzels out when I would make my food. I would portion it out. So I would go ahead and take out the 13 pretzels for 180 calories or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I would put it on my plate and I would zip up the pretzel bag and I would put it back where it went.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would only eat what was on my plate. And I told myself, just, okay, eat that, chill a minute, and see what happens.
And that's the big thing too. You know, it does take, I think it's like 7 to 10 minutes for your brain to recognize what you just ate.
Yeah.
And so many people, they eat and they all of a sudden say, well, man, I'm still hungry. And they go back and eat more because that's probably the way me and you did it forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still have those urges. That's why they name it Still a Fat Kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I eat, I'm like, man, I just want some more.
Yeah.
I want more of that.
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. So I want to go back and eat more. But it's just portion control has always been my problem.
Me too.
That's why I like the growing diet trend of If It Fits Your Back Rows. Where you can eat whatever you want to, as long as it fits in your calorie, protein, fats, and carbs, it doesn't matter what that is.
Okay.
I can't be on that diet.
Yeah.
Because I know that I cannot have just this much of something.
Yeah.
If there's a bag of chips or Snickers or something like that in my house, I can't have a bite of it. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I know, yeah.
But what's weird is now, like I'm to the point now where mentally, if I don't start eating it, I don't worry about it. It's the second that I actually take the bite that I'm like, okay, let's do this. But I also think that's part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I do everything to the best of my ability,
including eating
as much as I can at whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been scientifically proven now that when you put a certain combination of sugars and fats together in one food,
mm-hmm.
it's got the same chemical release as heroin does on the brain.
Yeah.
So for guys like me and you with that food addiction,
yeah.
we get a taste of it, and as soon as we taste it, it releases those endorphins, and holy crap, I want more of this.
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So it's been 2 years now.
2 years.
Let me ask you this, because this is a big thing that a lot of people deal with. You're incredibly busy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a great family that you spend a lot of time with. I see that, and I really admire that about you. So you're really busy. You got a lot going on, and you're still able to incorporate health and fitness in your life.
Yeah.
Where I see a lot of people, especially my clients, people I work with, as soon as they get busy, health and fitness is the first thing they put on the back burner.
Yeah.
So how do you stay motivated to make sure that health and fitness is a priority in your life?
Okay. So there's a couple moving parts here. Number one, I told you, I couldn't let all these people that I loved and care about, I couldn't let all that happen in vain and not do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then what is the, if I put in all this work, Robbie, for 2 years,
yeah,
and then I turn my back on it, it's for what?
Exactly.
What was the point of that? It's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can talk. Anybody can say something. Can you deliver on it?
Yeah.
Okay? That's one part of it. I couldn't let all these people's passing go and not say, you got lucky, man. Like, you didn't pass. You better use this to the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my main things.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what's the motivation is? My family.
Mm-hmm.
I did this because I went to these funerals and I made myself watch these, my friends' families go through what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I did not ever want to put my wife and kids through what I saw.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the other part of it. It's like, you have a greater goal here than mm-hmm. you.
Don't, it's bigger
be
than
selfish.
Yourself.
It's for your kids. You need to be a part of their life, and they need to be part of your life for a long time. So keep doing your thing. And really, it's to the point now where I feel worse if I don't go do something than if I do something.
Yep.
And I've had a major shift in my life here in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping coach my daughter's t-ball, all-girl t-ball team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like trying to walk cats through a bathtub. So I have had to change things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for the first time in 2 years, I am solely accountable for myself. I could not join the last round of BFIT.
Mm-hmm.
We have games and practice 2 days a week. My daughters take dance and gymnastics. It's not fair, in my opinion, it's not fair for me to be obligated to these other activities with my kids, and then two nights out of the other five nights out of the week or four nights out of the week, that it's completely on my wife to have to deal with, you know, bass and feeding and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make a choice that I had to sacrifice something. I have a lot of obligations over the next 8 weeks. So what am I doing now? I had to make myself accountable.
Yeah.
Again, there are things that you can do for yourself, me personally, that I could do for myself at my house.
Mm-hmm.
A push-up's free, man.
Yeah, it is.
You don't have to do a push-up anywhere. You can do a push-up in your bathroom, on your patio. Do it in the street. You can do sit-ups in the garage or on your driveway. People may look at you like you're crazy. That's the cost, man.
Yep.
So now I've had to make this change of, I told you, my kids go to bed between 8:30, 9 o'clock, depending on t-ball and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had to, for Lent, I gave up sweets and treats.
Okay.
Just to get my mind right.
Yeah.
And because this change was coming, I ended up, now what I'm doing is, I am running every night at the house, but I don't get to run until 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I don't have time. No, you do.
Yeah.
What you have are more excuses than the will to get better.
Mm-hmm. It's not important enough at that point.
I'm the opposite. I have more will to get better than I do excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back down that path.
Yeah, I hear people say all the time, you know, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time to get to the gym, I don't have time. You don't have to be, like you just talked about, you don't have to go to the gym to get an exercise in. You don't have to go to boot camp or something like that. I mean, those things work great, and of course they have their purpose, but if you only have 20-30 minutes a day, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of access to tools with the invention of Google where you can go find a 20-30 minute home workout to do after your kids go to bed or before everyone else gets up or even during your lunch break.
Yeah,
you know, there's ways you can fit it in your schedule.
Right.
And I heard somebody say the other day, it was funny, it was, when people say I don't have time, when grown-ups say I don't have time, that's like the childhood equivalent of the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, basically, it's just your excuse. It's not a priority in your life at that point.
So for me, you know, if I work out, once I work out, I generally stay hot the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be sweating all day long. So I made the choice to not work out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent option. D- don't stay up until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Go to sleep at 9:30. I mean, do you really need 8 hours of sleep? I think 6 to 7 is more than enough. But what? Sleep a couple hours, get up, do your thing, get showered, dominate the day.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse, repeat.
Yep.
I mean, people, you say, I don't have time, but you lay in your bed and watch TV from 8 to 11.
Yeah, there's 3 hours of House of Cards every night. Or even, you know, some people I've told them, like, hey, look, I understand. You're working 12-hour days. You have family all going on. You have 2 days on the weekend you don't work.
Yeah.
I said, go bust your butt on the weekends, and at least you're doing something.
Yeah. So, agreed. So, I think that the other part of this problem is that mentally, you don't realize that something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
So, when people fail a diet, why do they generally fail? They usually make one mistake, and they go, you know what? It's Tuesday. This week's ruined. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to start fresh next Monday.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people let a cheat meal turn into a cheat day, cheat week, cheat month.
So just like I said, you know, this one's easy. Positivity breeds positivity. Activity breeds activity.
Yeah.
The reciprocal or inverse of that is non-activity also breeds non-activity. A bad meal leads to a bad dinner. Then, you know what? I ate really bad yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and get whatever for breakfast, and I'm just going to restart this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You're always pushing it off. Same thing with diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Start doing something, and that's better than doing nothing.
Agreed.
Someone told me, you didn't gain weight overnight. You didn't go from, you know, a size 30 to a size 40 by eating one pizza meal or one bad meal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was the collective effort over days and weeks and months and years.
Yeah.
Losing it's the same way. You don't diet one day and lose it. That would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's every day, man. You have to just be consistent with what you do.
It takes just as long to walk out of the woods as it did to walk into the woods.
Yeah.
And in our society, we're always looking for that magic pill.
Yeah.
I need that instant gratification. Our cell phones are totally just killing our brains into thinking that way.
Yeah.
Because everything is instant access these days. So when it comes to diet and exercise, a lot of people, they come to me and they're like, hey, man, I want to lose 30 pounds this month. I'm like, do you want to die? I mean, like, what? It's, hey, let's do this the right way.
Like, which limb do you want to cut off?
Exactly. So we always want that quick fix, but what you've done is you've made it into a lifestyle.
Had to be.
Where now you feel guilty and you feel bad if you fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
Because, and I always talk about this, and it's so important, and we haven't said the exact word, but it's really what you've done, is you've developed a really strong, powerful why in your life. The reason that this is important to you. It's not just superficial or aesthetic of I want to lose weight. It's a deep burning why.
Yeah. my goal was never like, and this is not a slight against anybody that looks amazing and works out for muscles and all that stuff. It's nothing like that. My goal was never I want a six pack and I want to be ripped. That was never the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't naive in thinking, like, I'm going to lose weight and things will look better. My goal was becoming heart healthy.
Yeah.
Just living. That was the goal for me. I didn't care about the rest of it. Mm-hmm. I knew it would happen.
Yeah.
I just didn't care about it. I don't have a six-pack, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it mm-hmm. wasn't the muscle part of it. And that's okay. Everyone has a different reason for why they do it.
Exactly.
And I'll never fault anybody for wanting to be a better version of themselves. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my reason. My reason was, I want to become healthier. I want to be there for my kids. I want to experience these things with them. And that was me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the big thing I tell people all the time is the number on the scale is just that. It's a number on the scale.
So earlier when I had asked you if you ever weighed yourself and you said no, and I didn't weigh myself either. And the reason for that was because, again, some people do it to hold themselves accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care.
No.
I don't think that weight is truly indicative of where you are health-wise.
It's not.
So I didn't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care if I lost 20 or 30 or 100 pounds. I cared that I felt good and that when I went to the doctor for a physical and they put that little oxygen thing on your finger mm-hmm. to get your oxygen level, the lady goes, what do you do? And I go, what do you mean? She's like, your resting heart rate or whatever it was like in the 50s or 60s. And
Which
I was
good.
Like... said, nothing. I don't do anything. I don't understand what you're asking me. And she's like, what do you do physically? I said, well, I've just started working out and running and whatever.
Yeah.
The healthiness was the goal. I never worried about weight loss. I didn't say, someone that went through the journey with me on BeFit was my best friend, Julio Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you've got to set a goal for yourself. Like, so that at least when you get there, you can pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what? Okay, so the goal is, if I can get to a size 40, double X shirt, that's a win. Like, that's what I'll take as the win.
Mm-hmm.
And I did set that goal.
Yeah.
It wasn't a weight goal. It was, this is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Past the goal, great. Awesome. You did it. My worry with not setting a goal, and I think the reason that most people fail when they set a goal, is they hit the goal, and then what?
Yeah. I had a mentor tell me one time, he said, I hate setting goals, because sometimes if you don't set a goal big enough, it creates a limiting belief. And you start to think, well, I can only achieve that.
So I give the example, I tell people, you know, when it comes to professional athletes and they want to get to the next level, to the pros of whatever it is they do, football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, the majority of those guys set the goal to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The goals never succeed.
Exactly.
I want to get to the NFL. Great, you got there. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Your goal, you didn't verbalize it. Your goal should have been to be the best at what you did when you got there.
Yeah.
And I think what happens a lot of times with weight loss, and that's why you see a snapshot of success. You see somebody get successful, they achieve it, but then you see them a year later, and they're back where they were or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hit the goal. They had nothing else to go with.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why I say that number on a scale is just that. It's just a number. Because at the end of the day, it's about creating confidence and happiness in yourself. Because that's a goal that is really a lifetime goal that always has to be worked on. You can hit a number on a scale and become satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not an indication of your health. That's not an indication of your personal happiness levels, of you achieving something in life. That's nothing more than a number on a scale. And when people come to me and they tell me I want to lose weight or I want to drop 30 pounds, I'm like, why? What's the real reason you want to do this?
Yeah.
Because if you just have that number, or I want to lose, like when women come up to me and go, I want to lose this,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, why? Well, I want to look better. Why? There's always that deeper reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason you got to get in contact with, because a number on a scale or an aesthetic figure of what you want to look like is only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short-term goal that is not a permanent lifestyle change.
Because
once you hit that goal, like you said, then what?
Yeah.
You know, like I've had people I know that I want to step on stage and compete in bodybuilding. Okay, great. Why? You know, and as soon as they do it, they go right back to their old habits and they're overweight again. I'm like, why did you even do that? Like, what was the purpose in that? So it has to be a reason that will create permanent change, like you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing this to be around for your family.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger reason than yourself. When I first started my journey, it was for myself, because I didn't have a family. I was in college. You know, it wasn't bigger than myself. It was just, I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
I was sick and tired of my body hurting. I was sick and tired of being beaten down mentally. But as I went on the journey and I started seeing the effect my weight loss had on other people,
mm-hmm.
then it became bigger than myself.
Yeah.
And now my thing is, I have to so they can. I have to continue living this healthy lifestyle, and I want to be that light for other people and to show people that it is possible. And it's not only possible to lose weight, but it's possible to keep it off.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal has become bigger than myself, and I think that is one of the keys to really creating that permanent motivation we all try to find. Because it's very easy to get motivated for a 30-day period or a 6-month period. But turning that short-term motivation to something permanent is what a lot of people struggle with. So that to me is why I believe in creating that deep emotional motivation, that why, as we call it, to get going.
Yeah. And write it down.
Oh, absolutely.
Write it somewhere that it's visual, so that you, if you're not lucky enough to have people around you that will make you accountable,
mm-hmm.
write it down so you don't forget it and you make yourself accountable. I this is honest to God's truth. I put reminders in my phone before I would eat lunch and dinner to make a right eating decision.
That's awesome. I've never heard of anyone doing that before.
So here's how my day would go before my weight loss. Here's like how my day would go: get up, best of intentions, eat a bowl of cereal, eat oatmeal, whatever. Get to work. I would work hard until 12. I'm like, okay, at 12 o'clock, I'm gonna eat something good.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. 12 o'clock would come, and I go, man, I'm so busy. Let me finish doing this. I'd push it to 12:30, to 1 o'clock, to 2 o'clock. By 2 o'clock, I'm damn right angry now. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, you're ready to eat somebody.
Yeah. I would go to the first place that was the closest. Mm-hmm. Give me the biggest meal that you have. Make it as big as you can possibly make it.
Yep.
Shovel it through the window. Let me stuff it down my gullet while I go back to work and keep doing that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good, man.
Mm-hmm.
It had to change. And I put these reminders, when I got to this point, I put these reminders in my phone at 11:40, 11:45, five-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be smart, make a good decision.
Yeah. And I think that is very important, because it's got to be on the forefront of your thinking, your conscious process.
I tried doing things. I tried putting a rubber band around my wrist and I wrote on there small, eat good.
Mm-hmm.
So, 'cause I'm left-handed, so when I would go to eat, I'd have it here. I would see it and I would do it. Well, that's great and dandy when you're eating, but if you've already ordered,
yeah,
it's too late for that.
Yeah.
So I put the reminders in to hopefully trigger that so that I would remember to make a good eating mm-hmm. decision. And then having structured eating times, I said, if I can do that, what else can I do?
Yeah.
I set a reminder to eat a snack at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I put snacks in my office desk. So I would go shopping on Sunday and I would buy snacks. I'd throw them in my bag to go to work. I'd throw them in my desk when I got to work. Alarm would go off at 10 o'clock. Pull a snack out, eat it. Good. At 11:45, I got another alarm. Eat right. I would make myself go eat so that I never got hungry.
Yeah.
And then at 3 o'clock and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you developed a discipline.
Had to.
And it just turned to a lifestyle. And yeah, having those reminders, because me and you've talked about this before, we live in such a reactive world. Where, boom, we go from this, that, the other, and we don't even think about anything we're doing. We just think about, I got to get this done, I got to get this done, I got to pick up the kids from school, I got to go make them dinner, I got to put them to bed, I got to go to sleep myself so I can do it all over the next day. But getting out of that reactive world and into a more conscious world, where you're thinking about what you're eating instead of just, damn, I'm hungry.
Yeah, you're right, man.
And the way I try to get people to do that is write it down. Write down your why. Write down that reason it's important to you everywhere. Mine's my bathroom mirror. So the first thing I wake up and see every morning is my why of the reason I'm down the road I'm going. And in my office back there, I have my dream board that's got things that, you know, I want to accomplish and, you know, just stuff that I want to do on there to remind myself of why I grind as hard as I do, why, you know, I go work out last night at 9:30 at night when all I want to do is go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you have to have that reminder of, you know, your why and the reason you're doing this, because if not, you'll get into that reactionary world where you're just trying to get through life. And that's honestly no way to live. You know, you have to be present. You have to actually enjoy this life, because like we talked about, it is so short and you never know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. Look, you've been on, you know, an incredible journey the last couple of years, and the things you've learned in the last 2 years, it's taken people a lifetime. They've never learned those lessons. And, you know, one thing we talk about on the show a lot is being that seeker of knowledge and always trying to become the best version of yourself. Because so many people don't do that. They just try to work 35 years, retire, and live.
That's a great life for some people, man.
It is. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, it's all about happiness in the day. If that's what makes you happy, then by all means, do it. Your happiness is better for me. I'd rather be happy than pissed off.
Yeah.
But, you know, for those people that are looking for it, going on that self-improvement journey, mm-hmm. man, it just opens your eyes to a different world. And it makes colors brighter, sounds louder, and it just kind of opens you up to really what this life's about. And at the end of the day, you know, I personally think it's about just being happy and finding whatever that is for you.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you know, it's working hard. being successful, living a healthy lifestyle, that's what makes us happy, what makes us tick every day. You know, some people, it could be playing 4 hours of video games a day. Hey, by all means, do it. If that's what makes you happy, yeah, then do it.
I always say this. I may not understand everyone's situation, and I'm not here to do that.
Mm-mm.
I just care. I genuinely care that people are happy with their life.
Exactly.
Whether I understand it or I don't understand it, it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
I'm just happy that you're happy. That's all that matters in this life, is that you are happy with the life that you're living. If you get that, man, that's awesome. That's what it's about.
I 100% agree. And one of the saddest things that I see when I start working with people is one of the first questions I ask people when I start working with them is, what makes you happy? They give me this little surface answer, but probably 8 out of 10 people can't give me a real answer.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that saddens me. And I've been there, so I know where they're at, you know, because you just get busy in life and you don't ever think about those kind of things. But to not have a clear definition of why you're living and what makes you happy, I think is one of the saddest things in this world, because like we keep going back to, you're only here for a short period of time. And why are you living if it's not to be happy and to, you know, make those around you happy? So I find that extremely sad when I ask somebody that question and they can't give me a real answer.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So you've been through this incredible journey. You've done a lot. And, you know, I know you well enough to know that this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to continue down this process. You're going to continue getting better and better. What would you say is probably one of the biggest lessons you've learned? Like, if you could boil it down to one lesson to give the audience, what would that be?
Believe in yourself. You will, your mind will take you where you never thought you could go.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ran a 5K was at the Run and Try 5. They called it a fun run. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I can check this out. And then I find out it's a 5K. So I'm Googling, what is a 5K? And then I find out it's like 3.1 miles, 3.2 mm-hmm. miles. And I go, okay, I've never ran more than a mile in my life.
Yeah.
The last time I ran a mile was probably in high school. I'm 32 years old, however old I was. I told myself one thing that day.
Mm-hmm.
Do not stop.
Yeah.
I don't care what your pace is. I don't care how long it takes you. I don't care if you legit are running in motion slower than what walking would be.
Yeah.
Mentally, do not stop.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, you'll be okay. I did that. I knew I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I had the strength to get through the bridge.
Yeah.
I told myself, you've already done this, man. You've already done it. And then the next feat, you've already done that. I can't do this. I can't get through this. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in yourself. You have to. You have to.
Yeah, we all have this, and it's not, you know, one person or another, but we all have these like limiting beliefs on ourselves, where for you it might have been, I can do anything with work. You put me in front of an account, I'm going to close it.
Yeah.
I'm going to provide for my family. I'm going to be the best husband I can be. But you might have had that limiting belief when it came to if I could actually be healthy and fit.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we tell ourselves these stories of who we are, who we're meant to be, who, what we can do. And a lot of times those stories, they just create these limiting beliefs. And one of my good friends actually this morning, she was getting on to me about some of those limiting beliefs that I, you know, I'm fighting, that just were there with me as a child that I'm trying to get over now, but they're still there. And I still kind of, without thinking about them, fall back on them.
Yeah.
And we create these stories that really limit us. And, oh, well, I can't stand when people tell me, oh, well, my whole family's big. I'm just overweight. That's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, that's not it. Or, you know, I don't think I could do that because whatever excuse they want to put up. Well, how do you know? You've never even tried.
Mm-hmm.
But it's these limiting beliefs that we create for ourselves that really just, they hold you back from reaching your potential.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you. I personally like unknown situations. I like to see what I can get myself through.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is like that.
No.
There are a lot of people that cannot start the process because they can't handle the fear of the unknown. And you just have to hope that they can get through it, that there's something there that can pull them through.
Yeah.
That they don't let that fear keep them away from the best that they can be in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably don't have that problem. I know I don't have that problem. I enjoy going into a situation that I may not fully grasp or understand and go, can I get through this or not? And yeah. See what happens with it. But not everybody's lucky like that.
Mm-mm. No, it's not a typical mindset. We'll put it like that. It's not the way that the average person thinks. But the thing is thinking like that is nothing more than a decision. You know, this is a weird story to bring up now, but when I first went bungee jumping when I was like 12 or 13 years old, I was scared to death. Here I am, this shy, introverted little fat kid, and I want to go bungee jumping.
Yeah.
And I stood up on the platform. I'm looking down. I was so scared. I was like almost paralyzed with fear.
Yeah.
But then I just said, just do it, bro. Just take a step. That's all you gotta do. Just take one freaking step. And I just like shut my brain off and just stepped. And it was amazing. You know, and all it was one decision to take one step. And that kind of, just by doing that, it kind of opened my mind to say, you know, what can you do if you just stop holding yourself back?
Yeah, so I tell people all the time, paralysis by analysis.
Yep.
You overanalyzed your situation instead of just saying, let me just do this and then we can see kind of
mm-hmm.
what happens. And so you overanalyzed it and you stopped and you stood there and thank goodness you ended up doing it because then you saw.
Yeah, and you know, Tony Robbins calls fear false evidence that appears real.
Yeah.
It's just this, once again, it's this story we're telling ourselves about all the bad crap that could happen instead of thinking of what good could come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
If I actually do this and succeed, or even if I fail, I still could learn from that and try it again.
And you should learn from everything that you fail at.
You should. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these diets that I've tried and exercise programs that I've tried, I've learned what works and what doesn't work for my body. And it's helped me kind of get to where I'm at today through failing through all that. I mean, I'm a firm believer in failing forward because that's the only way for you to really grow. You don't learn as much from your successes because it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
You learn from those failures and those tough moments. That's really what makes us who we are. I mean, that's why, you know, it's the struggle is real, but you are stronger. You know, you learn your strengths during your struggles. That's really what builds character. So in closing, Jesse, I just want to thank you.
Yeah, man.
I want to thank you for not only coming on the show, but I want to thank you for who you are.
Thank you.
I know that I've never told you this before, so I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody at the same time.
Oh, God.
You've always been someone that I've looked up to and admired.
Okay.
You know, even going back, you know, 10 years ago when I was first getting out of college and, you know, we'd run into each other every once in a while, I saw your tenacity and your work ethic, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the way that you approach life, just full speed ahead. I'm going to go out there and accomplish and do something big. And it's always been something that I've admired about you.
Thank you.
And I used to, you know, when I was working, I'm like, man, you know, I just need to work like him. I just need to work like Jesse and I can make some things happen. And you know, not only your incredible work ethic, but the way you approach life. And you just have this like zeal for everything about life and you just want to live. And I wish more people would be like that. So I just want to take a minute to really thank you for putting that out there because you don't hide that, man. You put it out there that you work hard and you love life and you love people. And that's an amazing, you know, vibe you're putting out that I really respect you for.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can people go to kind of follow you and find out more about everything you're doing?
You know, I really don't have, I mean, I have, you know, a LinkedIn page, I have a Facebook page, but I don't have any organized
mm-hmm.
place to keep thoughts and all that. I just, you know, I just, again, talk to people, man.
Yeah.
And you're more than welcome to look me up on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, whatever you want. I don't really post, I have an Instagram, but I don't do anything cool enough to actually post on Instagram. If you follow me
you
on
think
Facebook,
that, yeah. But
My Facebook is generally about my kids and whatever. Yeah. But yeah, anyone's more than welcome to see the journey. And if you go to, it probably, I think about it, the best place to probably go would be to Brantley Ellison Fitness or BeFit. He has a lot of transformation pictures mm-hmm. on there, and one of my stories is in there.
Yeah.
And he may even have a video kind of documenting the things that we've done and some of the conversations that we've had. So that may be the best place to go find that information.
Yeah, I know I follow him on all social media just because I love seeing those stories, man. I love seeing those transformation That's stories. Cool. So in wrapping up, guys, thank you so much for checking out the show this week. And as always, to find out more, please visit my website at robbiediangelo.com. And follow us on all your favorite social media. Like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. But this is your friend in the struggle, Robbie D'Angelo, with my great friend Jesse Alvarez, proving to you
the struggle is real, but you are stronger.